A year ago today, the city of Boston was on the verge of being America's choice to host the 2024 Summer Olympic Games. But before the end of 2015, that bid was dead. WBUR's Kurt Nickisch covered the Olympics bid from the beginning, and he joins us to talk about one of the top stories of the past year. Good morning, Kurt. Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you, too.
So it was a surprise, Kurt, to many folks when the U.S. Olympic Committee chose Boston over three other cities, including Los Angeles, and that was back in January, to be the American bid city. So things eventually got very ugly after that between the Olympics Committee and Boston. What made U.S. Olympic officials so enamored with Boston in the first place?
Well, they thought that experiencing the Olympics in Boston was going to be as easy as walking the Freedom Trail. So many of the venues were going to be close to downtown. Local universities were going to house athletes and media close by. The whole idea was this very compact, almost walkable games. And they also liked that they had a mayor who was fully on board. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, fresh in his first term, really latched onto the bid and made the pitch to the committee. But when they chose Boston, it took a lot of people here by surprise. They pictured a paralyzed city in the summer of 2024. At the time, Mayor Walsh said that no neighborhood would be steamrolled and that nobody would be railroaded.
Absolutely not. We're going to go out and talk to the people of Boston. I'd be willing to bet if you took a poll today, the majority of Bostonians are excited about this bid.
Well, Kurt, WBUR took the mayor up on that, and things did not seem as rosy as Mayor Walsh suggested.
Yeah, the first poll just a few weeks later showed that 50% of city residents did support the idea of hosting the Olympics. A third were against. But the poll also showed that 3 out of 4 Bostonians wanted to be able to vote on it.
And how did Bostonians eventually get their way?
Well, you cannot underestimate the impact of the opposition group called No Boston Olympics, run by a couple of young professionals with experience in political campaigns. I'll never forget that first city-run public hearing on the bid with the mayor and the private nonprofit pushing for the Games Boston 2024. Well, the group No Boston Olympics sent an email to their supporters ahead of time, most of whom that they hadn't even met yet. And the email said, "The hearing room is small. Show up early, crowd out the supporters, use these talking points." And that's exactly what happened in front of all of Boston's media. Here are some voices from that meeting and the response from the chair of Boston 2024 at the time, John Fish.
So I feel like I've been completely left out. And if I don't get to vote on this, I will remember this during the next local election.
Essentially, what I'd like to know is what will it take to stop this?
Can you expand on why democracy doesn't matter in this context and why you're proud of that?
I can't comment on that now. I'm going to have to take a look at what you're talking about. I'm not familiar with that, to be candid with.
Well, that actually sounds like a political campaign, Kurt.
Yeah, one that caught Boston 2024 totally off guard. It didn't hurt that the public transit system came to a standstill during all those snowstorms. And so over the next few months, WBUR polling showed that the tables turned. Opponents outnumbered supporters.
So, Kurt, remind us, what did Boston 2024 do about this problem?
Well, to try to rally this flagging public support, they replaced John Fish with a more affable chair, Steve Pagliuca. They also revised their initial plans. But honestly, there just wasn't that much time to change course. There was a September deadline to submit Boston as the U.S. bid to the International Olympic Committee. And in late June, it wasn't great. USOC Chair Larry Probst said he was not happy with the public support numbers. And you'll also hear Pagliuca chiming in here.
We obviously want to see a positive trend, and the sooner the better. You know,
I think it's like other things. You know it when you see it. It's got to be a positive trend.
The numbers now are sort of in the low to mid 40s. Obviously, we'd like to see it get over 50% relatively soon.
And looking back, that mandate to raise public support numbers was really the death knell for Boston's bid.
How so?
Well, do you remember the debate?
Vaguely.
Yeah. Well, you were probably on the Cape in the summer, like everybody else. In July, people want to dig their toes in the sand, not dig into financial and operational details of a multi-billion dollar bid. So there was a televised debate, but I just don't know how many people really tuned in to hear this zinger from opponent Andrew Zimbalist.
Most of the numbers that I look at reflect drunken optimism. They don't reflect conservatism.
I couldn't disagree with that.
Let me talk a little bit, Dan.
Unless Boston 2024 wanted to spend millions of dollars on TV ads, there was really little they could do to move public support that far that fast. And that political reality was not lost on Marty Walsh. Hours before the USOC met to formally drop the bid, the mayor hastily called a press conference to say he would not put taxpayers on the hook for cost overruns, something that is pretty much the deal when cities sign up to host the Olympics.
If committing to signing a guarantee today is what's required to move forward, then Boston is no longer pursuing the 2024 Olympic and Paralympic Games.
And Kurt, what lessons do you think Boston 2024 and the U.S. Olympics Committee learned here and what they might have done differently?
Well, they could have involved the public much sooner. The USOC actually told bidding cities to not spend too much money and time on public outreach and just work on their plans in private. So when the USOC picked Boston, a lot of people felt like that was the first time they heard about it, and they felt like people were trying to sneak something past them. That could have happened in any city that was chosen, but No Boston Olympics co-founder Chris Dempsey says the mistrust was amplified here in Boston, a city that's long been skeptical of elites and authority.
They thought because we are a rabid sports town that we would just accept this idea. I think they didn't understand that our passion for sports is rivaled only by our passion for a good, healthy debate.
And so, Kurt, who are the main winners and losers from all of this?
I never mentioned the name Charlie Baker. He kept his fingers away from the frying pan. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh salvaged a situation that easily could have damaged him more. Other winners are the three leaders of No Boston Olympics. They went to the mat for something they believed in and had an outsized impact on an enormous public issue. Losers, the people who invested in Boston 2024 lost a lot of money and time. The U.S. and International Olympic Committees came away with a black eye. You know, some people are thrilled thinking that Boston showed the world that the Olympics is a racket, but other people are angry. They see that Boston snubbed international and national partners in a very public way, and they feel like that just reinforced this reputation that Boston has of being a provincial city that's unwilling to, you know, go big.
All right. WBUR's Kurt Nikisch, thanks for taking us back through the story of the Boston Olympics bid of 2015.
Thank you.